It's so easy to lay your life down in the presence of God. So easy to give it all. But there are days, there are weeks, there are months where everything seems so dry inside. You don't have the power, and you're basically backsliding back into the old. And when I was preparing my message, I was thinking about how can I lay my life down completely in times when everything is dry, everything seems so empty. And about 7 years ago, the Lord started to talk to me about laying down my life, laying it down for Him and be a living sacrifice. I was about 16 years old and God was calling me into this place of giving it all. And when I think about this whole topic of dying to myself, dying and laying it down, I don't know where to start and where to finish. And to make a short message out of this is the most difficult thing in the world. But I want to talk about, when you think about the movie The Passion of Christ, how Jesus laid his life down. It was 3 hours long, I think, or 2 hours long. And just the last 3 minutes is about the resurrection. And while I'm talking about laying my life down, it's exactly about that, about dying to my old person, about being crucified with Christ. Jesus says, "You will do greater things than I did." How is that possible? I mean, I look into the Christian world today. How is that possible? Is there something more? Have you ever dreamed about doing the impossible for God? We are not called to do the possible. We are called to do the impossible. But how? I often dreamed about how would people honor me if I could walk on water? I often dreamed about what did people think about me, if I could raise the dead, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, and all these things God is calling us to. But then I read the scripture, Ephesians 5:1. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do as His dear children. How? I'm staying here with a big question. How is that possible? And I often tried it myself, often tried to do what I can do instead of letting God come and do what He only can do. My small group leader placed it this way. The best we can do is compared what God can do, almost evil. There's nothing good that can come out of a human person that has eternal value. Only if Jesus Christ is doing it. When Jesus said, if you only look at a woman with lust, you have committed adultery. If you only hate your brother, you have killed him. Just imagine how many people you would have already abused, killed. How wicked is the human heart? And how much do we need of God that we can overcome this? This is not a sermon about, oh, you little bad person. This is not about work righteousness, because we can't work our way into heaven. But I will talk about a road that is very, very narrow. I'm talking about the meat of the gospel. Jesus is saying in Matthew 7:14, but the gateway to life is very narrow. And then he says, and the road is difficult. And only a few ever find it. Jesus makes it not easy for us. He's making it very clear. And he continues to say, I tell you the truth, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Compared to the world, Canada and all of us are very, very rich. In the third world, it is rich to have more than $1 income per day, for example. Out of this question and out of this verse as Jesus are talking about, there's only one way out. And this way has a name, Jesus. Jesus is talking over and over and over about the impossibility for us to enter the kingdom of heaven by ourselves. But Jesus is the way. I will often ask my father, Dad, what do you think about this scripture? You know, this sounds like I really have to do something here. There's something wrong, you know. The grace of God. And too often we just cover it with the grace of God and say, okay, these words, just don't take them too serious. But instead of walking with these verses in the grace of God, because we can anyway only do it by the grace of God, Jesus is saying, now pick up your cross and follow me. For what is the cross good for? To die on it. You and I, we have to die to ourselves completely. And there can't be anything left, because as you see, only a camel can go to an eye of the needle, but for a rich man it's even harder. How much have you get rid of? Even if you don't take, like if you run naked, you wouldn't fit through it. You have to get rid of more. You have to get rid of yourself. And he makes it very clear, unless a seed is not falling into the ground and dies, there will be no fruit. He's not saying there might be some. He's saying very clearly there will be no fruit. You have to die. And I know this is hard, but he's making it very clear. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever loses his life for my sake will save it. It is a very clear message, and Jesus is talking not just in this verse about it, it's going over and over and over. And as a young Christian, I read this verse and thought, well, I have like a revelation of it in this area, or I have partially died to myself here, but completely dying to myself on earth is not possible. I learned something different. For Paul was following Jesus. And Paul made it very, very clear. He said, my old self has been crucified with Christ. I'm dead. It is no longer I who lives inside of me, but Jesus Christ lives in me. There's nobody I want to live inside of me anymore. There's nobody beside Jesus Christ. It is not only that I just want to go through the narrow way, it is Jesus that I want to meet truly and fully. I want to be so one with him. The Bible is saying, one in spirit, one. This is beyond everything. After the last few weeks, I'm going through different difficult situations in my life. Every time, the only possible answer is, I have to get rid of more of me, and I have to receive more of him. And then Paul says, I am dead to the world, and the world is dead to me. This is my promise, and that is your promise, that you can die completely to yourself while you are here on earth. For there were others who walked before us. And Paul is one of the greatest theologians. He said, if you think you know something, You don't know yet what you're supposed to know. You have to get rid of everything. Everything. This is not an easy road. Jesus makes it very clear. The road is difficult and only a few ever find it. Why is it the meat of the gospel? It's really hard to digest this. If you're my church home in Germany is very, very grace-based, too grace-based almost. They don't touch these verses. They don't think about that. They just say, oh, the grace of God has done it. Jesus has done it on the cross. Yes, Jesus has done it so that we can follow him into the crucifixion, into the death, and then being resurrected with Jesus Christ. And then Jesus is living in us, and we are no longer. We're just the vessel, just the glove he is taking on. But every movement, every little bit is him. And I was worshiping last Friday, and I was looking at my hands, and Jesus was giving me this revelation. He said, you want a wife, you want a house, you want this, you want this, you want this. All of these things, all of these desires will end up in complete disaster. If Jesus is not the one, you already missed the narrow, narrow path. And only this path is going into unity with Jesus Christ to the wedding dinner. And then we will say, if we walk this way in the end of days, and we are staying in front of the throne, and they will tell of us, these are the ones that didn't love their life unto death. It doesn't need to be physical. It does need to be spiritual. About 3 years ago, I received the next prophecy, and God was just preparing me for this message I'm just walking in right now. This man came to me, and he was shocking me. People usually don't give prophecies about dying, but this man came to me and said, man of God, holy man, you will lose your life. You will lose your life, and with that save other lives. And he was giving me the scene of, I don't know who saw Lord of the Rings. He showed me the scene, and in the scene, Gandalf was running over this bridge, and his friends were already past, and there was this demonic creature, and he said, you shall not pass, and he fought it unto death. He killed it so that his friends could go on. That is a love you can only see in Jesus Christ. And this love can only be in you if you have followed him and laid your life down. But this world is more than hungry for such a love. And only this is true love, the word is saying. If you have love and die for your friends so that they can go on. In the last 3 months, I heard the complete revelation of this dying to yourself. I had like really an understanding. I really read the Bible about it. I really searched out for myself and said, yes, now I'm ready. God, 7 years ago you have started. Now I want to even go out into it, like I really want to embrace this. And every day I see a passion rising in me to be one with Jesus like never before. I want only one thing. One thing. I don't care about this, all these things. I only want one thing, and that is Jesus Christ, one with me. I'm resurrected with him, a new creation. The word is saying, don't care about the things of the world. Let Jesus be your only focus. And if you feel there's something inside of you that's saying, I have not, and I want this. I have not died to myself, and I haven't embraced this message, or I have not accepted this fully for me, but today I decide. I know some of you might just think, okay, I need to digest this first. But everybody of you guys who really wants to do the step tonight, why don't you come to the front and kneel here at the green line? And I tell you, I need to kneel here too. Because Jesus has started, but he has to finish. Why don't you just come up? And this is just a time between you and Jesus. And you say, Jesus, I surrender all to you. I surrender all. I don't want to leave anything inside of me that is of me. I'm hungry for more. Lord Jesus, would you come and encounter those. Everybody in this room, Lord, with a new revelation of who you are. Come, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, wash us. Prepare us for Jesus to come inside of us, to resurrect us. Come, Holy Spirit. And everybody who's yet now at the front, kneeling down, why don't you pray after me? Lord Jesus, I have given you my life long before this day. But today, I surrender it all. I not only embrace your grace, but I embrace the whole way of your grace. Holy Spirit, would you prepare me so that Jesus can come in? I'm willing to pay the whole price. Jesus, you're the only one I want. I lay all my earthly desires down. Make me a new creation. Crucify me, Lord. Lord Jesus, I pray that you purify everyone in this room, that you come with your blood and wash us clean. Lord Jesus, enter the room now. Give us a new heart and a new mind, Lord.
So for those of you who are still receiving from God, I just encourage you just to stay at the front and just let Holy Spirit just continue ministering to you. And I'm just going to continue on what Philip was talking about, just dying to yourself. And today I just wanted to talk about something that God's been really working on in me and something that I've been really learning to just give up before God and to God. And when he was sharing about how he wanted to talk tonight about dying to himself, all I could think about was just what God is bringing me through in my current relationships. And so I just want to share a little bit of my testimony to see if it just helps you. I don't know if you're like me, but in my past, I've had experiences where people have said things or have done things, and they've really hurt me. And in my reactions to when people hurt me was just to... I would find that my reactions would change, or my relationships would change. They would either get tense, or they would just not be as open, or I would cut them off completely. And I've been through the school of ministry, and I've been at this church for a year now, so I was pretty proud of myself, and I thought that I was pretty healed up, and that I forgave everyone I had to forgive, and that everything after the school ministry would just be really great. But I've just recently, in the past few months, I've just been finding that I've been having a lot of problems in my own relationships, and I kept feeling hurt, or I kept feeling angry, or I kept feeling just offended by certain people in my life. And I would always just deal with this emotion, and I would try to go to God, and I'd be like, okay, God, this is what I'm feeling. Can you help me forgive this person? Or okay, God, I really want to see change in this relationship. And I would feel a little better after I prayed that, but the next day or the next week, they would do maybe the same thing. And I felt that same anger, that same resentment, that same bitterness would just well up again, and that my relationships just kept not changing. And so, like, I noticed that when I did feel hurt by people, my reaction was always the same. Like, whenever I thought about the person, or whenever I interacted and I remembered just about what happened before, like, this anger and this hurt or shame would just start welling up in me. And then before I knew it, I would just start building a defense against this person. Like, the moment anything triggered a memory of something that someone had done to hurt me, it's like I pressed this button in my heart, and it would just start, like, building these walls. And it was just like, okay, my defense system is activated. And it was like, and I just would start saying these things like, oh, I knew I couldn't trust her. Or, she's never going to change. Or, like, she always does this, and I would just start building a case again and again, and then it would just start building up in my heart, and I would just start ranting to my friends or saying things that in my relationships I would just start saying things that weren't really nice about people, or even to their faces if I got angry enough. And so God just started to show me that the problems in my relationships were not about the situation or the other person, but they were problems with my heart. Because I would keep praying. I would say, God, I want breakthrough in this relationship. God, I really want to see change in this area. And I forgive this person. But then at the same time, I was going to God and I was saying, God, this person is so mean to me. This person judged me in this way, and this person did this and this and this, and I would just go to him and I would complain. And he started to show me that my relationships were suffering so much because the other person would feel the defenses that I've built up in my own heart, and they would feel the distance that I put between us, and they would just start to react to that, and then they would in turn hurt me almost in the exact same way, because it just started this cycle of, oh, I can't trust you, so I'm going to step away from you. And they would feel that I was rejecting them or I was cutting them off, and so they'd be a bit more cold towards me. And so God just started talking to me about what reconciliation really is. And he was just saying that reconciliation is not justification. And it's not about proving yourself right in a situation or convicting the other person of what they were doing wrong. And Philip tonight was just talking about how Jesus is the only way. He's the only way to righteousness, and he's the only justification. It says that in the book of Romans. And so he was just talking to me about grace. You can never sit there and prove yourself righteous in a situation where you've been hurt. You can never sit there and say that I'm judging this person and I'm saying that they're a bad person because they've hurt me, and that it's the job of the Holy Spirit, not your job, grace, to bring conviction to someone's heart. And so I was a bit shocked because when I thought about reconciliation in a relationship, I thought, oh, someone's going to come to me and they're going to say, oh, Grace, you were right, and I was wrong, and I did this, and I hurt you, and I'm so sorry. But God showed me that when I start expecting that from other people, like when I wanted them to do that in reconciliation with me, they would feel that when I did start to confront them about something that was really hurting me, and that it would just cause this distance. And so he was just talking to me about how I'm responsible for my own heart, because I can't control what anyone does to me. I can't control what someone says or if they're really going to change or not. But I can control my own reaction in my own heart. And he just started showing me different areas of where I was just holding on to things. And the first one he started showing me was that I was withholding forgiveness for people. And in Matthew 6:14, it says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, neither will your Father forgive you of your trespasses. And so he started just to talk to me about how when I was forgiving people, I was forgiving them on the surface. And I was just saying, oh yeah, I forgive them. And then I wouldn't really talk about what I was forgiving them for. And so God was just telling me that when I forgive someone, I have to take into account like how I felt and what exactly they did. And so I started to do that when I was praying and I was feeling hurt. I was just saying, God, this person hurt me in this way and in this way and in this way. And God, I just take that to the cross and I choose to forgive them. And then he started just to talk to me about how I was closing my heart because I was not forgiving them, but also because when I was offended and when I was angry, I was also sinning against them because I was going to other people and saying, oh, this person hurt me this way, and this person did this to me, and I was saying that to my friends or saying that to mutual friends, and that's not godly in any way. And I was just holding unforgiveness and bitterness in my own heart, and God just started showing me about how if I really want to have reconciliation in my life and restoration in my relationships, I have to move in that forgiveness and to also repent for things that I have done wrong, because I'm responsible for what happens in my heart and I'm responsible for my own actions. And so once I just started doing this, and once I started to go to God and just saying, okay, God, I really, really am hurt in this relationship, but I do want to open up to it, and I'm going to take responsibility for this unforgiveness, and I'm going to take responsibility for just in the ways that I've dishonored the people that have hurt me. It started to change the way I interacted with the people that hurt me before. And when I started to open up my heart to them and say, okay, I want to try to understand you. I want to try to understand why you're doing this. And I also want to just choose to love you. And I want to open up my heart to you and just get closer. I just started to see so much more change and so much breakthrough in my relationships. And so I just wanted to do some ministry into that tonight. If if you can think of a relationship in which you feel like things aren't changing, I just ask you to invite the Holy Spirit right now and just almost examine your own heart. So Holy Spirit, we just ask you to come. And Lord, we just pray that you would just start to show us areas of responsibility that we've kind of forsaken in just keeping our own justification, keeping our own offenses. And Lord, we just lay those down at the cross. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, for just restoration of our relationships, and that you would open up our hearts and just give us soft hearts towards the people in our lives. And Lord, I just pray that if there's anyone in your heart that you want to forgive, Lord, we just lift them up to you now. And Lord, we just put that on the cross and we just lay that all down. And Lord, I just pray for restoration in our relationships.
Just as we were praying, as Grace was praying, I got a picture, and so I thought I would just share it. But we'd love to minister to you in this area, but I felt like there was somebody here, there was a situation where, in a relationship, where you thought you had done everything possible to reconcile and make it happen. And I felt like the Lord said, what I need you to do now is because, first of all, I felt like, and this could be me, so, but anyways. Usually when it's usually about you. But I felt like, I'm just going to say me. I felt like I had moved forward. I started going ahead of the person, and the person was way behind. And I felt like the Lord showed me, Sandra, you need to go back and grab their hand and walk with them. And I don't know if that's you, if that resonates with you right now. How about we just stand up for a minute? Wow. Father, I thank you for the heart surgery that you're doing in our hearts right now. Father, as even tonight, as we are just laying it all down, Father, as we're giving it all to you, Lord, as we're saying, Father, that we don't want anything in between what we have with you. We don't want anything to come in between our relationship with you. And Father, I thank you for your unconditional love, Lord. I thank you that even sometimes when we felt we've done everything that you've asked us to do, Lord, you asked us to go back and grab their hand and walk with them. And Father, if that's what you want us to do, Lord, we are choosing to do that. And Lord, I pray that you would give us an abundance of grace and love to be able to go back and to connect with that person and to walk side by side with them and to love on them and to build a relationship with them. And Father, even tonight, Lord, as we are laying things down, I also feel like tonight, you know, we all are in a different place, and Philip is in a place where God is just causing him, he's in a season of where he's causing him to lay it all down and to die to self and to get everything of Jesus inside of him. And I just want to lift off any false guilt or because you didn't, you know, if you didn't connect with that, because it's a season that we, you know, like I know some of you didn't all come for, and that's okay. But I just want to encourage you that for some of you, you're in the midst of getting there. And I know for Philip that it was a journey that he had to get to. He had to get to that place where he was laying it all down. And Father, I'm praying that you would just help us all, Father, as we lay everything down, Father. And we just pick up you. And we smell you, and we see you, and we hear you, and we taste you in every way. And Father, we just give you it all. Lord, we thank you that you are a shepherd. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. And Father, I just bless every single person here. Father, that you would just come. And Lord, we come and we humbly come before you and we just say, Lord, whatever you want to do. Lord, we thank you for the cross. Thank you, Papa.
You remember that when Jesus was beginning his ministry, he had to deal with some big issues. One of the first issues that he had to deal with was learning to not be distracted, not to have anyone interfere with the agenda that God has for his life. And when Jesus was in the desert for 40 days, you remember that at the very end of that, it says that Satan came, and Satan himself came and began to try to speak lies, began to, it says tempt him, but it was far more than temptation. It was to divert him, to get him off course. It was to short circuit the agenda that God had. And Jesus had to speak to the enemy and just say, like, get behind me. And I was just feeling in the last couple minutes as we've been just focusing on what the Holy Spirit wants to do, that one of the things that potentially we need to do is just to cleanse or be cleansed of demonic stuff that would come and really short circuit us. Would that be all right? And where's Gail? Gail, come on over here and you help me pray this. Gail's fairly good at praying things off of people. So I'll get you to do that in just a moment. So just close your eyes right now. Father, we recognize that there's a battle for our souls. And we have a loving Father in heaven who says that every good and perfect gift comes from me. He's the Father of lights. There's no darkness in our Father, full of mercy and grace. And yet at the same time, there's a opposition. And Satan would come to trick, to deceive, to thwart, to hinder, to do whatever he can to separate us from the love of God, to divert our attention onto things that at the end of the day aren't as important, aren't the right things. And Father, I'm asking that you would come, and for every one of us, if we've had ideas, thoughts, if there's been influence that has come against us, that is moving us in a direction that's not you, Daddy, we're asking that you would come and just lift off that right now. We're asking, Holy Spirit, would you cleanse our minds right now? Can I just get you to put your hand on your own brain, as it were? Spirit of God, come and cleanse my mind. False ideas, false philosophies, ways of living, even ideas of interpreting Scripture that aren't your revelation, Daddy. Cleanse me of everything that would cause me to miss the best that you have. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Put a hand on your heart. Father, cleanse our desires. Cleanse the things that cause us to be passionate. Help us to learn to die to things that interrupt. I was talking to a pastor last night, or Sandra and I were, we have a, some of you know Fred and Sharon Wright, have just retired from leading our Partners in Harvest Network, and they're staying in our house for a month while their daughter's getting ready to have a baby. And we were talking about different things, and they were sort of joking with me about my love for sports. And I was trying to I was trying to position myself to let them know, no, I'm working hard at this. And I told them that for probably the last 10 years, I have purposely booked myself to speak when there's been major sporting events on television as an act to the Lord to say, I am dying to my own passions. And I'm proving it to you, Father, because here I am. I'm speaking at a church tonight. I've instead of watching the Super Bowl or watching the Stanley Cup playoffs or whatever, here I am. I'm in your presence. And that's been a process for me for like 10 years on that one issue. So, Father, false passions, things that are right for us to have, but it sometimes get in the way. And I'd be very it would be very dishonest of me to say that there have not been times when I have stayed home from a meeting that I could have gone to or been with other believers and chosen to watch something on television because my heart wanted that. Father, would you cleanse us of those kind of things? And again, we're not saying that to watch TV or sports or any of those kind of things is wrong. We're just saying that God needs to be first. So Daddy, would you come and be first? Would you cleanse our hearts in Jesus' name?
I'm just feeling lies of the enemy. Lies of the enemy are on so many people here right now. And God wants to free you from those lies. Well, chains will be broken in the name of Jesus. Oh, any unforgiveness because of the past is going to leave tonight and never return in the name of Jesus. Whoa, there have been so many things in the past for some of you that are just hanging on by a thread. You just need to snip one last little thread and you're free. Just ask God to touch you. Touch me, Lord. Touch me, Lord. Free me. Set me free now from anything that is hindering me. Remove any hindrances or obstacles from the pathways of these poor spirits, Lord. Well, because they will not be poor anymore. They don't want to be poor. They want to be free and rich in the Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come right now and do a major, major work right now. I'm just feeling there's some of you that are groping, just groping and striving. We say no more. No more groping and striving. Let the Holy Spirit take over right now. Take over your mind, your spirit, your body right now. Just feel it. Feel the Holy Spirit coming into you, releasing you. Release, release. Whoa, anything that is binding them up now that is not of God, I command any spirits right now that are binding you that is not of God to be loosed. In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, just fill them. Fill them to overflowing. Free their mind. Set the captives free in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in people right now. Whoa, they have low self-esteem. No more. No more. We cut that off. God confidence is coming. God is going to give you your esteem. He's going to exalt you at the proper time. And he's preparing the way. You are a child of the King. And you are covered by the precious blood of Jesus. Therefore, any evil spirits that are within you must come out now and go to the foot of the cross, never to return. Whoa, Holy Spirit is doing a work in a couple of people right now, convincing them and convicting them of heart and mind, of who they are in Christ. Stand firm and know who you are in Christ. Wow. I just feel right now, there are spirits of doubt and spirits of fear leaving. Hallelujah. No more. You are free in the name of Jesus. Chains are being broken all across this room right now. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Hope.
Whoa. Who are the folks that are having headaches right now? Can I get you to put your hand up? You've got a headache that's just come as we've begun to do some ministry. Anyone in the room besides me? Anyone have headaches? Migraines, that kind of stuff, yeah. You're feeling pressure on your head right now. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, there's just a couple of us. Father, we're asking that you lift off all assignments of the enemy against your people. Father, we're asking that you would come and just break the grips that Satan has. That he's established footholds, he's established territory. And we just say, Holy Spirit, come and just set us absolutely free. Set us absolutely free. And friends, if you're wondering where this is in the Bible, let me just take you back to Ephesians again, also chapter 5, where Philip started. And there's a verse that says, don't go to bed angry, which is what Grace was talking about. Don't leave a day with a bad relationship, unforgiveness. And here's what the scripture says. It says that when you do that, you give Satan a foothold. And if you've been here before, you know that the Greek word there is the word topos, topography. You give Satan land. You give Satan access on your physical body. You give Satan access in your life and the circumstances. The very act of going to bed and having challenges and difficulties with other people. And so, Father, we're asking that you come. And I just had this picture of these, I don't know if you know these big, long-handled, chain-cutting, I don't know what you call them, bolt cutters. That's the thing. But big, long handles to get lots of leverage. And I just saw the Holy Spirit coming around us, like, and going to each one of us as if it was metal straps around our head, like just the attack of the enemy against us. And just snapping those. And we just speak that freedom to everyone in this room right now, Daddy. Freedom comes. Freedom comes.
I'm feeling I feel like tonight is revelation night. The Lord is downloading stuff. He's showing us things. But the enemy wants to just get in there, and he wants to stop us. And so I feel like I get the word shame. I don't know if there's anybody just even feeling like, you know, you're thinking, oh, God. You know, sometimes shame just takes over us, and it causes us to hide and don't see me, you know, because of what's going on inside of me. But the Lord is just saying, no more shame. No more shame. And if that's you, can you just raise your hand? Because I just want to pray for you right now. If you're just feeling that weightiness of where the Lord just wants to break through right now. I'm just going to pray anyways. But Lord, I just ask that you would come. And Father, we just bind up that spirit of shame, anxiety that is inside of us right now that is causing us not to be able to move forward. And we are saying we are going through. Father, we are going through because of what your Son Jesus did on the cross. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have made a way and we are moving forward. And Father, I thank you that tonight is revelation night, Father. I thank you that tonight you are opening our eyes wide, that you are allowing us to hear even more from you, Lord, that our discernment and our wisdom and the revelation that you're giving us, Father, is increasing. And Father, we are saying that you are the source. And Father, we are drinking from the source tonight, which is Jesus. We look to you.
I was feeling as well, are there folks that have problems with your bones that are here tonight? Can I get you to put your hand up? Any kind of bone problems? Just keep your hand in the air. If you see someone with their hand up, just come and put your hand on their shoulders to represent their bones. Keep your hand up until someone comes. So church, just look around to find someone who has their hand up. There's people at the back over here. So anyone who's here, if you see someone standing with their hand up, just go grab them. Now, I'm not saying this over you folks. I'm going to give a generalization. One of the things, again, on the theme of forgiveness is the Bible has consequences. For example, that Ephesians passage, that if we go to bed angry, we open ourselves to demonic stuff. But one of the ways that unforgiveness gets into people's bodies is it attacks bones. And the book of Proverbs says that bitterness, unforgiveness rots bones. So I'm not trying to say that that's you if you're standing. I just felt we needed to pray for a cleansing for our bones today. And so, Father, we're asking for you to come. Holy Spirit, again, any demonic assignments on the bones of men and women where there's arthritic things, rheumatoid arthritis, brittle bones, soft bones, or whatever the different bone conditions are. Father, we are saying the grace, the truth, the love of God comes into our bodies, cleansing from every aspect of every sickness and disease. Spirit of God, come. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. Father, if there's any of our issues that are connected to bones having problems, having pain, Holy Spirit, would you forgive us of our stuff? And Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence. We welcome your touch into our bodies. Into our bodies, Father. Come. Spirit of God, come. Strengthen the bones of these men and women. Minister to them right now, Daddy. Breathe life into our bones. Do you remember that picture that Ezekiel had of life coming to bones again? The stories in the Bible are on all different levels. It's not just a story. It's not just a prophetic word. It's not just a prophetic word for this group or this group or this group. But there's just multiple levels that God's revelation functions at. And Father, we just say the very same thing. Can life come to bones? The answer is yes. And we declare that, Father, life comes to our bones. Life comes to our bones. Life comes. Peace of God comes into people's bones. If you're at home right now, I don't know if you put your hand up for that, but I want you, if there's someone with you, just get them to pray for you as well if you haven't already stepped into doing that. Father, for every person that's watching, that's in this room, those that are listening, we welcome the ministry of the Holy Spirit to cleanse our bodies. Cleanse our bodies. Come, Holy Spirit. There's another area I'd like to pray into that's health-related. I was telling our prayer team before we began, last Friday night we had some amazing miracles that took place, some amazing healings that took place in this building, and during the day even. Some of our prayer team were just sharing some of those things that took place. And I had opportunity during the morning, right around the noon hour, we were praying in the School of Ministry. I was teaching on healing last week, and one of the girls put her hand up and said, can I be prayed for an allergy? And it's like, of course we can pray for that. What's the allergy you have? And she said, I'm allergic to horses. And it's like, okay, well, why would you be mentioning that? Is what I'm thinking. And she says, I'm on the outreach team that's going with the youth retreat this last weekend. Like, there was 70, 75 youth on this retreat, and they're going to a horse ranch, and I'm on the team. I'm ministry team. And I didn't bring any of my medication. She's from Europe somewhere. Didn't bring any of my medication. And at times I've actually, if horses have been around, or horsehair thick products and that kind of stuff, I end up in hospital and have severe reactions. And it's like, okay, well, we're going to pray. And so we prayed. And then she comes after me at the end of the session. It's like, how do I know if I've been healed? It's like, well, that's a good question. And I was sort of saying, well, you walk towards a horse, and if you can't breathe, you back up. but if you're having no problems, you keep walking. And I found out on Sunday night, I was here, our School of Champions was finishing just as the bus was coming back, bringing the youth back. And she's all excited, and some of the School of Ministry students came running up to me and said, she's healed, she's healed. She was able to ride a horse, she was able to put her face right beside a horse and had no problems at all. That sounds good, doesn't it? If you have any kind of allergy, can I get you to stand up? Any kind of allergy, a food allergy, a skin allergy, a breathing, like you're allergic to, like people, hay fever, grass, pollens, people sneeze when they see the sun, like there's all sorts of different things that happen. If you have any kind of allergy, why don't you stand up? Okay, those of you seated, can I get you to go and stand by someone? Find someone who's standing that's close by you. Go to them. Don't do anything yet. Ask them, what kind of allergy do you have? Let's be specific. If no one's come to you, put your hand up. If no one's come to you, put your hand up. Okay, folks, move around. Find someone. Move around and find someone. Keep your hand up until someone comes. Are there folks that... our camera girl needs someone to go to her? Usually it's a cameraman, but we have a camera girl today. Anyone else that's not got someone with them, hand up high so we can see where you are. Good. Is someone going to our camera girl? Yep, here comes someone behind you. Okay, ask them where the ask them what kind of allergy do they have. Just get a quick little report. And once they say that, if it's a breathing thing and you get permission, put your hand towards their lungs. If it's a skin thing, just touch their shoulder at some place. If it's a sinus kind of thing, even touch their nose. If it's appropriate to do that, let's speak cleansing over their bodies right now. You pray specifically against what they have right now. And let's say they have skin allergy, and so that perfume, for example, bothers their skin. Pray that off in the name of Jesus, because that would be a demonic assignment. I think most allergies will have a physical issue, but at the bottom of it, I think that they're demonic. Because Satan is trying to keep people from enjoying life, enjoying horses, enjoying food. I have a nephew that has a peanut allergy, like many children do today. And he has to be very, very careful. Father, we're asking that you come on God's people that are in this room and those of you that are at home. Spirit of God, would you come? We're asking, Holy Spirit, that you'd wash through our bodies. If you were here right at the very beginning, Sandra was talking about a cleansing tonight. Sandra felt that tonight was a night to go deep into the river, as it were, and just let the Spirit of God wash us and cleanse us and purify us. And Daddy, we're asking that you would come. And whether it's a, if it's a physical thing that we have, it's part of our lungs, it's part of our skin, it's part of whatever. Spirit of God, cleanse us. Put the cross of Jesus between every single allergy that's in this room and these people. We break its power in Jesus' name. We break every allergic reaction in the name of Jesus. And we speak life to your skin, life to your lungs. Those are the two main categories that I'm thinking of. And Father, every assignment of Satan, every demonic spirit that has a purpose to rob people of life, to steal health, to kill you even, we separate you right now in the name of Jesus. We say, Holy Spirit, would you come right into their lungs and reset the calibration of their lungs. Father, we're asking that your Holy Spirit would come onto people's skin right now and reset the order and balance. I don't know if you know, but most of your televisions have a button that you can press a reset and it goes back to the factory specifications. Most of your computers have a reset button. Most of your smartphones have a reset button that if anything goes wrong, you press that and everything goes back to the manufacturer's suggested, I was going to say price, that's not the right one. It goes back to the manufacturer's suggestions as to optimal performance. And Father, we're asking that for these men and women, you would be the one who comes and presses the reset button on our bodies as it relates to allergies, Daddy. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Spirit of God, come. Cleansing comes. Now, friends, I don't know if any of you are going to be able to check this. I don't know if some of you like need to find someone who's wearing really strong aftershave and just go up and sniff them or something like that. So I don't know if we're going to be able to measure what's going on. But has anyone, as we've been praying, felt a release? Anyone felt a lightness come to them? Anyone felt some stuff? Hands up, okay. Quite a few of you felt some stuff. Well, I want to bless you. Try, like, do that horse thing that I was telling. Like, if you're allergic to peanuts, put one on the counter and see what happens. And if you have a reaction, then put it in the trash. If nothing's happened, then move closer and just see what happens. I was in Nigeria probably about 7 years ago now. And one of our partners and harvest pastors was on our little group. His name is Rupert Foxwell in Tunbridge, England. And he was severely allergic to fish. And wouldn't you know it, almost every meal we had in Nigeria was fish. And he is in bed and he has the shakes, like he is shivering. He is reacting and his body is getting dehydrated, like he is just uncontrollable reaction to the fish that is there, and my guess is his body's not encountered Nigerian fish before, and for whatever reason, his body is just not doing well. And I can remember that a whole bunch of us prayed for him. And on the at the healing service at that church, which is why we were there, was to learn how to heal people better. We brought him down, and he's got a blanket around him. He's shivering cold in hot Nigeria weather. And he's sitting on a chair, and he's just not in a good place. He feels he's dying, is what he was saying. And people came and laid hands on him and prayed for him. And he was absolutely healed. Like, just that night was absolutely healed. All the shaking stopped. All the cold sweats stopped. All that kind of stuff. And he's able to eat fish, and he's not had a problem to this day. Amazing, amazing thing. So, Father, that's the kind of breakthrough we're asking for each person in this room right here, right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Now, we prayed this the last couple weeks, but if you have been diagnosed with a life-threatening disease, you have tumors, you have cancer, you have something that doctors are saying that if the situation does not change, this potentially will short-circuit your life. This will shorten your days. If that's you, can I get you folks to come on up to the front, because we want to lay hands on you and pray for you. So come on up. We've been praying for this gal the last couple weeks. She has breast cancer. Is there anyone else has a life-threatening sickness, disease? Anyone else in the room? Let's get some of the gals to come on up and pray. Can we do that?
You are increasing her faith day by day, week by week. She loves you. She trusts you. Lord, I just ask for a touch right now from you. A touch of healing flowing through her body. Yes, let your holy healing presence flow through her, Lord. Flow through her right now. Hallelujah. Let it come. By the authority of God's holy word, you are healed and made whole in the name of Jesus now.
Any of our prayer team have any other things that they feel the Holy Spirit saying? Specific things for us to pray into tonight? Prayer team, any other specifics that you're getting? If you have any kind of pain or sickness in your body, how about you stand up? Let's just have a general sweep. Can you do that? Just stand up wherever you are. Again, if someone's standing by you, can I just get you to go over to them? Put your hand on them. Some of you need to look behind you. There's a gentleman back over here, lady back over here. So if someone's close by, just find them right now. Find out what kind of pain they have, what kind of sickness they have. Just ask a quick question. Spirit of God, come. We welcome you, Father. Bring healing in our bodies right now in the name of Jesus. Spirit of God, come. Come, Holy Spirit. Every sickness, every disease leaves our bodies. Do you know there's not one story of Jesus being sick? I think that's what God wants. I believe that that's what God wants. I think Jesus modeled everything that the Father's desire was. I think that Jesus is the best example, the prime example for how we're to be living. All the different things that Philip talked about, that Grace talked about, but he also exemplified health. So Spirit of God, come. Jesus also exemplified, he never had a lack when it came to his finances as well. He never had a lack when it came to relationships. He just excelled in the presence of God and trusted God, and God was there for every aspect of his life that he needed. And so, Father, we just speak that for these men and these ladies that are standing right now, and for those of you that are at home. Holy Spirit, would you go into our bodies, come into our bodies, cleanse us of sicknesses and diseases. Bring the peace of God into our bodies, Daddy. Bring hope to our spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Bring hope. Bring hope in Jesus' name. Todd, can I get you to come here? A month ago, Sandra and I and 37 other folks, including Todd, were in Mozambique. And we had five of the people that were on our team were from a church in South Africa. And Todd got to spend a little bit more time with them than the rest of us because he was one of the later additions in our group, and as were the South Africans. And so they weren't on the plane with the rest of us. They were a day late coming in and a day late leaving. And we just found out today that the pastor of that church, his name is Brian Long, no relation that I'm aware of, that he was driving and a gentleman had a heart attack and died while he was driving. And his car went out of control and went head on into this pastor's car. And this pastor's in critical condition right now in a hospital in South Africa. So I just ask Todd if he'll pray for this man. So how about we just stand together and let's ask the Holy Spirit to do a miracle for this pastor that's in South Africa.
Yep. So let's just do the School of the Holy Spirit thing where we let's just envision Brian in the ICU because he's in the hospital. He's going to be in intensive care. And let's just imagine ourselves in your mind's eye standing around his bed and just extending your hands over him. And Father, we just, by faith, because he's a partner in Harvest pastor leader, and from what I understand, he's been really stepping out in the Spirit. And some of the people don't like the change of Holy Spirit in their church. And he's taking some steps and being brave. And so, Father, we just want to bring him to your throne room in the Spirit and just take him in the Spirit to your throne, Father. We just ask that you put your hand on him, Lord, on his body, where he needs healing. We don't know what his injuries are, Lord, but we just come against any kind of spirit of death, any kind of assignments that have been whatever the cause is, Lord, if there's a demonic cause for this accident, Father, we just come against the spirit that is doing that now. In Jesus' name, we command you to let go of him, to unlink, loose, and let go. And Father, we just speak grace, mercy, and pain-free healing into his body now, Lord. We speak for restoration of all the bodily functions. We call forth natural, supernatural healing for full brain functions, everything, Lord. Father, we speak shalom into his body, the balance and the peace of God into all the systems, into his immune system, into his circulation system, into his respiratory, all the skeletal system, all his bones, everything, Lord. We speak peace and shalom into his soul, into his mind, into his spirit man, Lord, that he might be fully restored and have absolutely no problem in his recovery, Lord. And so, Father, we just call him forth in the Spirit. We just see him getting up out of the bed and standing and walking away from the ICU, walking away from sickness, disease, infirmity, walking away without any scars, without any limp, without any disabilities from this. And Father, that he may have a deeper and stronger relationship with you because of it and in spite of it. And Father, we know that you work all things for good. So we're asking you to turn this bad situation into a good situation for Brian. And Father, we thank you in advance that we can just come in. We thank you in advance for what you're doing, and we thank you that we do have this privilege through the blood of the Lamb to come into your throne room and just boldly come in and make our petitions known and say them with faith. So, Father, we thank you now in Jesus' name.
Thank you. You may be seated.